As I stood in line at the deli with my English muffins and orange juice, I saw Margot Spencer outside in old jeans and a baggy sweater, trying to tie a very large black Labrador puppy to a lamppost. She had her hair in a ponytail, and she looked almost plain for once. So plain, I didn't recognize her until I'd registered her small, impeccably shaped head. The puppy wasn't cooperating. When he jumped up to lick her face, she dropped the leash to regain her balance, and he almost got away and bolted into the traffic. She caught the end of the leash just in time to drag him back. I took my change and bag of groceries and went outside. "Hey, Margot," I said, "can I give you a hand?" "Please," she called back. She didn't see who I was until it was too late to retract her acceptance of my offer. I knelt down, held the dog's collar, and looked him right in the eye. "Hold still, you big galoot," I said firmly. I didn't have much experience with dogs, but I'd read that they responded well to alpha behavior. The puppy cocked his head as if he were waiting for me to play, but he held still. Margot secured the leash with a good knot, then had to step back and acknowledge me. This she did with her usual grace. "Well, thanks," she said, wiping her hands on the seat of her jeans as if she'd gotten them dirty holding the leash. "I appreciate your help, Claudia. He was about to get run over." "You're very welcome," I said. "It was the least I could do." We looked at each other a moment. Were we going to acknowledge my recent mistakes and get past them, or were we going to say a curt goodbye and be enemies? I had thought all along that this was up to Margot, but the struggle with her puppy had leveled the playing field. "I mean," I went on, "after everything that's happened lately." "What's happened lately?" She brushed a shiny strand of dark hair away from her nose. "Good question. I wasn't sure either. Had Gus told her I'd called her names, or was she still upset about the whole dead Jackie thing, or both, or was there something else I didn't know about?" "I know you're very loyal to Jackie," I said slowly, hazarding a guess, watching her face for clues. "But she just called me and hired me again. I think she's forgiven me." "Jackie always forgives everyone," Margot said with a hint of a smile. "She can never remember anything long enough to hold a grudge." "I know," I said. "Lucky for me." There was a silence. She seemed to be waiting for me to say something. "What did I do?" I blurted, amazing myself.
"What do you mean?"
"We used to be friends. Well, friendly. Something's changed. I think it's because of something I said or did." The whites of her eyes were perfectly clear, so purely white they had the bluish undertone of flat white latex paint. Her skin was equally flawless, a uniform cream color with a tinge of rose on her cheeks and lips. She had not one blemish or scar, not even a freckle. I had never realized it before, but she had the same sinless, slightly mocking air as my mother's shepherdess figurine, that purse-lipped maid in dirndl and frock, eternally leading her snow-white fluffballs to some Edenic pasture. "You haven't done anything," she said. "Really?" I said dubiously. "Then it's just my imagination."
"Well,"
she paused, then added with obvious reluctance,
"no, actually not entirely."
"Then what?"